The Bush family has always treated literacy as a personal cause, and the president has made it a central element in his new education package. Our linguist Jeff Nunberg thinks this is all to the good, but he's troubled by the use of the word itself.
For the last 150 years or so, Americans have regarded literacy as an absolute public good. I'd be the last to quarrel with that. It's only the word literacy itself that makes me uneasy. Actually, literacy and literate have been around since the Renaissance as a way of describing an educated person, which usually meant somebody who knew Greek or Latin. But literate and illiterate were pretty recondite words until the late 19th century, when Americans started to use them to classify people according to whether they had the basic ability to read and write. That was the moment when literacy became a civic virtue, the key to creating the responsible public that a democracy required. As one reformer put it, universal education is the lever that will elevate the social state of the poor, assimilating them in habits, thoughts, and feelings to the rich and the educated. That was the great age of the American public library movement, and the time when people started to measure literacy rates as the best indicator of social development. Ever since then, literacy and illiteracy have led double lives in English. They refer both to basic skills and to broader cultural and intellectual achievements. And over the course of the 20th century, Americans have extended the notion of literacy to cover skills and knowledge that don't seem to have any immediate connection to basic reading and writing. The phrases media literacy and economic literacy first appeared about 50 or 60 years ago, and in the following decades, people began to talk about geographical literacy, scientific literacy, computer literacy, and mathematical literacy. By 1987, the critic E.D. Hirsch could coin the term cultural literacy to cover all the information that Americans need to know in order to function as informed citizens. Who was Horace Greeley? What was the Stamp Act? Where is Stuttgart? When was the 30 Years' War? And shortly after that, William Bennett started talking about moral literacy, by which he meant the ethical standards that all American children ought to be taught, the values they could presumably pick up from the uplifting tales in Bennett's Book of Virtues. There's something very curious about the way we use the word literacy. At least, I don't know of any other language that has a single word that covers this range of territory. When the French or Italians want to talk about the basic ability to read and write, they use terms based on the word alphabet. Somebody who doesn't have those skills is called analphabetic. Basic literacy campaigns are called alphabetization campaigns, and so forth. But when it comes to describing the other kinds of knowledge that Americans call literacies of one kind or another, Europeans use other words like learning or culture. If you want to translate computer literacy into Italian, you'd say something like la cultura del computer. And if you wanted to talk about cultural literacy, you'd have to say something like la cultura della cultura, though that expression wouldn't make a lot of sense. Of course, there are a lot of words in English that don't have exact translations in other languages. Smug, for example, or empowerment. But that's often a sign that some cultural sleight of hand is going on. The fact is that there's nothing natural or obvious about using the same word to describe the basic ability to read and write and the general knowledge and values that we want our citizens to have. In part, all this talk of literacies reflects the skittishness that Americans have about using the word culture as a positive term. We have no problem using culture to describe the traditions and mores of particular groups and communities, like when we talk about hip-hop culture or the culture of people who travel around in RVs. And there's a growing tendency to use the phrase the culture to refer to the custard of values and prejudices that we're all swimming around in. But we're uncomfortable about using the bare noun culture all by itself. A phrase like a person of culture has an elitist public television ring to it. And nobody would get very far trying to argue that the schools are failing in their duty to turn out cultivated citizens. That would be a perfectly natural thing to say in French, but in American English, the adjective cultivated is reserved for seniors who are trying to describe themselves in a personal ad. Since the 19th century, the word literacy has been our way of getting culture in through the back door of the schoolroom. Literacy strips culture of its connotations of class and refinement and turns it into a civic duty and a subject matter, something you can objectify and measure. At that point, it becomes natural to start compiling lists of all the things that people ought to know, particularly given the American passion for quantification. If learning about citizenship or morality is the same sort of thing as learning to read and write, then we ought to be able to set down the subject in a dictionary, the same way we do with words and spellings. Of course, as soon as anybody publishes one of these lists, people start to quibble with its contents. Why list Horace Greeley rather than Marcus Garvey? But that's how people always greet the appearance of a new dictionary. And in the long run, the disputes just validate the appropriateness of treating culture as an exercise in lexicography. There's always been an element of social control in the way Americans think about literacy. The 19th century founders of the public library movement believed that universal literacy was the best way of inoculating the working class against the blandishments of radical orators. But there was also a sincere hope that once people learned to read and write, they'd be exposed to a world of experience where everything wasn't codified in advance. That idea is a little blurred in the way we use literacy now, where we make the mastery of basic reading and writing the model for everything that ought to happen in the classroom. It runs the risk of reducing the whole of education to a spelling bee.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.